Hi, Sander. How are you doing? And you know that that's just a fake question because I start that way to say that before we get started with the show, Sander and Michelle Flom have written a book, Boost Your Career, How to Make an Impact, Get Recognized, and Build the Career You Want. Given everything that's going on out there in the big wide world, if you are interested in boosting your career, which some people should be, we would highly recommend that you go to find. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it online, and you know, avail yourself of the information that is there. Anyway,
well, thank you for that, Jill. It's very, very kind. The book's doing very, very well, actually.
It must. Yeah, yeah. No, that's
a lot of nice comments from people about the book, about ways to make an impact in your new job and get the recognition.
And
so,
can I just say, as someone who's holding the book, it's clear, you know, it's good information and it is well presented. So you don't have to sort of twist your mind to try and figure out what is being advised and whether it will work. It's yeah. Really abundantly clear, and that's you know, that's very special. And speaking of very special, what do great teams do differently?
Well, this is a different kind of this will be a different kind of show. There's a book. This is for our sports fans out there. Actually, this is a book written by Don Yeager, who is Don Yeager. He's the associate editor for Sports Illustrated, a great writer. But it's really focused on more on sports teams when we talk about what really great teams. Some of the things that Don Yeager speaks to in the book, we will concur with, and others, maybe not. So let's go through some of the stuff. He speaks about different things. He talks about many, many habits of sports teams. Hiller won, for example, great teams understand their why. Why in quotes. So he says, you know, a great team will constantly remind its players and employees that they're involved in something larger than themselves and their individual goals. Some team members will instinctively grasp this essential concept and will appreciate and respect the basic tradition of what they do or whom they work for. Others will need reminding, and leadership must intentionally create emotional moments that connect them to the greater purpose. It's really a problem with a lot of sports teams. The big stars, you know, we'll talk about the big stars, you know, within the basketball community, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, you know, they have an ego. And for them, it's more about themselves, in my view, than the team. So a lot has to be written. More has to be written about that. He quotes a very good author and inspirational speaker named Simon Sinek here, where Sinek explains, let me quote him, when an organization lays out its cause, how it does really matters. It isn't an argument to be made, but a context to be provided. An organization's why literally has to come first before anything else. Companies that understand the purpose and philosophy behind the why are usually astute, high-performing organizations that tap directly into the pulse of those benefit. You know, we had spoken about this before. Why do we exist? You know, but of course, we're reading all the stuff now about, yeah, we exist, but, you know, the major stockholders, the major stakeholders are really telling us what to do, basically. Procter & Gamble, you know. And the Blackstone people who were involved in so many boards of directors, you know, you're going to do what they tell you to do. And, you know, that doesn't, not a lot of people speak to this, but being on, you know, so many boards in my lifetime, believe me, it's the stakeholders that tell you what to do. You really have to have the guts to do it. Okay, next pillar. Great teams have and develop great leaders. Okay. So there's no question we discussed that the key to any organization is really good leadership. From the CEO to frontline staff, strong leaders are very, very critical to high performance, that we know. As we discussed many times, you focus on strengths, not weaknesses. You focus on getting the A players to A+. You focus on getting the B+ players to A's, and you move on the C's. Brad Black, who was CEO of Humanex Ventures, he considers professional assessments a foundation of development and essential for any leader desiring to be great. All leaders, he says, should know where they and their team stand on skills, strengths, weaknesses, and latent talents. Black said that understanding who you are as a leader is a gift to yourself and can create the road map for your own growth. His view, okay. Command and control. Here I really disagree in command and control. He talks about Bobby Knight, who I went to Ohio State with and became the coach of Indiana and lost his job at Indiana after throwing a chair across the floor of the basketball court. George Patton, who I love, Martha Stewart, and Al Dunlap. Al Dunlap? he was cruel and mean. Dunlap is a boss. He was not liked at all. They call him a leader who have employed command and control, whatever command and control means, but he's not a leader and he shouldn't have been mentioned. Bobby Knight, although he had a great winning record as coach of Indiana, doesn't belong here either. So anyway, charismatic. Now we're talking about, great teams have developed great leaders. Charismatic. Imagine a leader with a personality so engaging and inspiring that you hang on to his or every word. President John F. Kennedy, of course, and Bobby Kennedy, for whom I worked, possessed that kind of charisma. The Kennedy's charisma and authentic passion, really could be felt in every word. Which is why President Kennedy, and he talks about, was so good at connecting with the hearts of his audience. Now he talks about going back to football now, because he is a sports writer, obviously. Pete Carroll, head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, is known in the sports world for his cool-headed temperament and engaging personality. Well, that is true, and so far he's had a winning season. With the Seattle Seahawks. So anyway, a little bit about that. Let's move on to talk about some other things that great teams supposedly do. Great teams allow culture to shape recruiting. This one is really kind of controversial to me. Great teams recruit players who fit, who will thrive within the established team culture and add value to it. Not true. many of these players, it's an ego thing. You're getting paid $70 million over 5 years. It's not about the culture. It's about me and what I can do to help you. I'm getting all this dough. You better do what I say and the way I play. So, no, I don't agree with that. Again, the author, how do you distinguish A-caliber players from the rest of the talented field of recruits? Answer, look for unique qualifiers that correspond to your team culture. CEO Tony Heise, Zappos, use weirdness as a unique differentiator to determine his A-caliber recruits. It didn't work. Zappos, as we know, no bosses didn't work. A lot of people have left. Zappos. Some of the key people, as a matter of fact, have left. So they're in trouble.
Is it still profitable?
Zappos? Not as profitable as before, because many of the key players are gone.
Yeah. That was one of those sort of common sense things, but they're just a couple of these things that you've mentioned don't exactly smack of common sense. I will just say that as you continue.
Yeah. But I mean, it's interesting. The book is obviously doing well. His book is doing well. We're just the purpose of this is really to look at leadership and the merits here. And the faults in his book,
right?
Next one. Great teams create and maintain depth. Well, here again, if you have players making the kind of money that the guys on the New York Knicks, if you follow them, then the depth isn't there because you can't afford debt because you're paying your stars so much money. You just can't afford it. So again, he says, additionally, great team culture develops strategies for improving the quality of depth at various positions within the organization, implementing, intense practices or creating a learning environment that enhances both the skill levels of individual players or employees and the depth of the team. Positions. Nicely written, sir, but not so, in my view. Okay. So great teams have a roadmap. Well, let me say this. Roadmaps are about 3 months. That's about it. A roadmap is about 3 months today. Changes are going on like crazy. The whole Charlie Rose thing, for example, the host of the show, PBS, the morning show, he's been suspended. This big show on PBS,
right.
No more, gone.
There's quite a lot of that, and what's going to be most interesting, I think, is when we look back on this and see, suddenly who fills the gaps.
Exactly. And we're seeing a big, obviously, the roadmap. There is no roadmap right now for this. Apparently, now the lawyers are all involved, and any woman who's been mishandled by a man, the sexual harassment suits are all over the place. We've never seen anything like this,
and
Weinstein began it, and now every woman who's been touched,
And what makes it even more complicated is, and this is just my opinion, but everything is being mushed together.
Yes.
And that, I don't think, can end happily for anybody.
Exactly.
That's the bit that has to sort itself out. And because it is considered socially inappropriate to defend anyone,
right.
Can't. So we wait.
Well, we'll wait. But Jill, believe me, this is not over. When you get the lawyers involved, speaking to the women, who've been touched, the Minnesota, a wonderful Minnesota senator, right? it's not over. There's a lot more to come, and everyone is shocked with Rose. Now, eight women have now come out against Charlie Rose. There's going to be a lot more. Women that he's touched are now calling the same attorney. And so it's going to be more and more and more. We haven't seen the end of this, Jill. This whole new trend, right?
No, we haven't. But what we have seen the end of is we've run out of time.
Okay, sorry.
So thank you very much, okay. Sandra Flaum, Leader's Edge.
Have a good day.